Chapter 27. I had about 20 seconds before the boiler would blow. I pulled the knife of amplification from my waist, leaped forward, and I decapitated Jazz. Our eyes met as I slid the knife across her throat. She was afraid. I didn't have time to think about the morality of my actions. A wall of text obscured my vision, but I ignored it as I worked. I had to cut several times to separate the screaming and gurgling head from the body. I had to get it in there before we all blew to hell. I slammed the head into my bigger on the inside pack, adding it to my inventory. I cringed, waiting for the explosion. The world shook with an obvious detonation, but it was small, especially compared to the beating of the heart. That's it? I looked back, peering out the door. I felt an odd sense of disappointment I hadn't died. The bridge was gone. A black mess of withered and dying worms disappeared down into the darkness. It seemed they'd swarmed the mech, effectively jumping on top of the bomb, blunting the explosion.
Quest complete. Satisfied with the sacrifice, the Dirofilaria have agreed to loosen their hold on the Guardians. From this moment forward, all Guardians under your control will receive a +20% strength bonus. Furthermore, all Dirofilariasis-type infections will cease to cause strength reductions in any Guardians. However, your victory comes with a price. Your standing with all groundlings is forever damaged. You will no longer be welcome in any groundling-controlled settlements or neighborhoods. Experience earned. Level up. Level up. You are now level 19. Heart area has been healed. Experience earned. Scanning. Warning. Guardian Mortazgus remains in poor health. Warning. Guardian Mortazgus's total strength reduction due to infections, injuries, and parasites, 55%. Warning. Guardian Mortazgus is bound in a trap. Mortazgus needs to be at 60% strength to break free. Recommended treatment? Seek out areas of needed healing for specific treatment plans. Vaccines recommended. Warning. You are out of stock on vaccines.
Gulch remained just above me, screaming. His voice was louder than the others. I tried to ignore it. I wondered what would happen if I killed him now that the quest was done. It wasn't worth the risk, I decided. Besides, you can't kill children in this world, remember? You can only damn them to a fate worse than death. The debt was gone. I'd done it. I could die now, and I'd end up back in Charnel. I'd gone up 2 levels, and I'd increased the Guardian's strength by 30%. This quest had only stopped one specific kind of parasitic infection. I wondered if there was a quest like this inside of all the kaiju. It made sense. Like, I could stop the heartworms in this one, and I could go to another kaiju and stop fleas or something, eventually making it so all the kaiju would be relatively healthy. A heartworm slithered into the chamber from below. It snaked up the body of Madame Throb's mech, and it reattached itself to the head of the dead Templar warrior. The mech hissed, coming to life. The arms relaxed, dropping the headless corpse of Jazz to the floor of the room. The whole chamber shook, the floor heaving. For a moment, I thought it was another explosion, but then I realized what was happening. There's nobody keeping the kaiju calm anymore. Mortazgus was waking up. However, his head was still encased in a trap. That's what the metal shell of the temple really was, a kaiju trap. The Guardian's current strength was at 45%. Once his strength got up to 60%, he would be able to break free. In the meantime, without anyone controlling him, he was now waking up. He wouldn't be able to wander around, but I suspect that wasn't going to stop him from trying. Which meant things were about to get bumpy. I had to work fast.
The conditions of our deal have been met.
Baby worms again oozed out of Throb's nose and ears.
You are welcome to use this place as long as you do not disturb the others.
A full-sized worm appeared, coming up from a hole in the ground in front of me. It regurgitated a hunk of iron.
Branding iron. Guardian Mortazgus. Oblation chamber.
It went into my pack, which was getting pretty full. I looked uneasily at the worms with the screaming children. I had to get out of here as soon as possible. I wouldn't be able to leave via the bridge anymore. I reached up and, once again, left the chamber through the hole in the roof. "I'm sorry, kid," I thought, as I passed the screaming form of Gulch. I pulled myself onto the relatively smooth roof, nestled amongst the massive veins and arteries. The moment I pulled myself through the hole, the screaming ceased, replaced with the heartbeat. I remained there for several moments, trying to catch my breath. The rounded platform was relatively steady compared to the worsening conditions of the rest of the body. The first thing I did was spend my two attribute points. I put them both into durability. I was going to need it with what came next. That left me at
strength, 19. Acumen, 12. Durability, 17. Deafness, 11. Charm, 8.
That low charm still bothered me. If it had been higher, all of this crap with the groundlings could have been avoided. But I only received one skill point a level, and I was committed to a strength durability build. Hopefully, once we regained access to Medina, we'd be able to find some equipment that enhanced all the stats. I sat cross-legged, pulling my pack into my lap. The world continued to rumble, but the roof held steady. I removed Jazz's head from my pack and held it between my legs. The thing was as big and as heavy as a medicine ball. Detached from her body, it made the short creature look much bigger. I reactivated Wicked Meat and examined the head.
Compatible left inner ear. Plus steady. Rejection chance, 65%. Compatible right eye. Plus 50% darkness vision. Frame vision. Rejection chance, 73%. BA45. Pars Triangularis. Plus neural link to Guardian Mortascus. Rejection chance, 0%.
I wanted to add both the ear and the BA45 thing, whatever that meant. I assumed it was a part of the brain. But I also wanted to know what would happen when something was rejected. I was afraid if I used my upcycle and something was rejected, I'd forever lose the use of that body part. I suspected there would be a warning. I needed to find out. So, using my amplification blade, I stuck the small knife into the side of the head, coring out the ear area.
Upcycle compatible left inner ear. Warning. This item has a 65% chance of being rejected by your body. If rejected, you will forever lose the use of your existing left inner ear until another replacement can be found. Upgrading upcycle or harvesting from a specimen closer to your own kind will increase success rates. Do you wish to continue?
I clicked no, but I threw the gooey ear core into my bag. I didn't know how long it would keep, but maybe sometime in the future I could be in a place where I had an inner ear backup in case it failed. I wanted that steady ability. My character seemed a little too prone to falling into unsteady, which that skill would counteract. But for now, a 65% chance of becoming permanently half-deaf was not worth the risk. The eye upgrade was useless. My frame vision still was vital to deep-dive medicine, and it was far superior to just being able to see in the dark, at least inside of the kaiju. If I could find an eye that'd allow me to see in the dark without losing that skill, it'd be much better. The real prize. And the sole reason why I decapitated Jazz for that third upgrade. I started to cut around the top of her head, making a bowl out of her skull. I needed to get the brain out without damaging it. The knife made the work easy. It cut through flesh and bone with absolute ease. I had a quick memory as I cut, of making a jack-o'-lantern with 3-year-old Chris and 17-year-old Ruth. Ruth had wandered off before I'd finished. Bored. Little Chris had jumped up and down as I cut, so excited he couldn't contain himself. He'd kept screaming,
"Great pumpkin! Great pumpkin! It's the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown!"
Fucking hell. Years later, and I was still ambushed by memories like this. It took a full minute for me to recover. I set my jaw and went back to my grim work. The top of the skull peeled away easily. I grasped onto the brain with both hands. Using my metallic grabbers was awkward. I felt in constant danger of crushing anything I touched. I readjusted, using that hand to hold the head down while I wrapped my right hand around the brain and started to pull. Gentle, gentle. It didn't want to come out. But after a moment, the brain started to slurp free from the skull.
Upcycle compatible BA-45, pars triangularis. Warning, this game is currently in co-op mode. This particular item is owned by the Groundling class. The Groundling character has not yet been claimed by a player. Per the current assigned rules, if a new player joins and chooses the Groundling race, you will immediately lose one of the abilities associated with this upgrade, plus Neural Link to Guardian Moritanskis. Do you wish to continue?
I read the warning several times, my initial panic easing. It made sense. In the single-player version of the game, I suspected you could take control of any of the kaiju you wanted, though you were probably at an advantage using the one associated with your race. In the co-op mode, you were only supposed to use your associated guardian. But what happened if a player quit before the end of the season? Or if one of the races never signs up? The AI running the game had to make some adjustments. Otherwise, playing the game was pointless if it couldn't be won. That didn't mean it would be easy, but it was still possible. Anatoly was having trouble tweaking the game to his liking, because every time he changed something, the hardwired AI in charge of keeping the game solvable changed some aspect of the code. I wondered if that was why I had been given access to the upcycle spell so early. The AI saw me join and thought, if these other players aren't coming back and you're joining this party so late, you still have a chance, but only if I give you this nudge. But first, you gotta jump through a few hoops. Thinking back, I'd practically been herded in this direction. I'd gone to Charnel, and they'd suggested I go to Kinnegad. So I did, and I'd virtually been handed this upgrade.
Okay. Upcycle commencing.
Before I could blink, a man-sized portal gulped open next to me. Dozens of red and pink tentacles shot forth from the swirling, dripping mist. They grasped me, impossibly strong, and dragged me within. The world blinked, and I was on a metal table, strapped down, unable to move. This was a surgical chamber, bigger, more well-appointed than Jazz and Stonegate's small home. Gnomish, hairy creatures filled the room. Demon-faced with bat wings, each one of the obsidian-colored things was no taller than my forearm. They buzzed back and forth. They ran amok in the room, knocking tables over and throwing instruments about. One of them held Jazz's brain. The creature stuck his hand into the brain, ripping and tearing. He came out with a tiny, round piece of meat about the size of a peanut. It had a blinking metallic circuit attached to it. Another imp appeared, this one wearing a surgical mask. He brandished a power drill. The tentacles that had dragged me into the portal remained, hanging from the swirling mist of the ceiling. They dripped with a pink goo and seemed to sway with the beat of the music. I blinked, my eyes catching a sputtering neon sign on the wall. It read, Necroshire Mystical Upcycle Emporium. And underneath was a division of chicken and waffles and upgrades limited. The drill-wielding imp placed the sharp and rusty bit against my forehead.
Oh no! Wait!
I awakened a moment later, back on the roof of the ablation chamber. At least it seemed to be a moment later. I had the sense the whole episode had taken about a minute. Maybe a bit less. What the hell was that? My ears burned. My health was almost to zero. My soul points were all but depleted, and I dripped with pink slime. I had maybe a half hour before I would die unless I killed something. I looked about, trying to determine if I felt any different, other than the goo. I discovered something was stuck to my chest. It was a sticker. I peeled it off and looked at it. I was a good boy. The round sticker dripped with the goo. It held three proud, smiley-faced gold stars underneath. And under that read, Necroshire Mystical Upcycles. The sticker dissolved, and I felt a slight buzz on my shoulder. A woven patch appeared on the outside of my small pack, identical to the stickers. I wiped my goo-covered hand on the roof of the chamber.
Upcycle complete. Operation success. Congratulations. Your body did not reject the upcycle. A new menu is available. Guardian Control.
I immediately pulled up my menus, scrolling until I found Guardian Control. An avatar of the Badger Kaiju sat there.
Warning. Your controls are limited unless you are in the Guardian cockpit. You may reach the cockpit via your Bloodborne talent. Warning. Guardian Mortazgus is stuck in a trap. Sleep. Summon to my location. Summon to waypoint. Attack at waypoint. Go stealth. Burrow.
Hell yeah. Both summon to my current location and go stealth were grayed out, which made sense. I couldn't summon the kaiju if I was inside of it, and it was already burrowed into the ground. I wanted to get to the cockpit, and I needed to break it out of the world rumbled, and the veins near my head tumbled away. I had to duck to keep from getting clobbered. I belatedly realized the Guardian was twisting and turning. The room under my feet, like Anatoly's base, was attempting to keep steady while the world around me twirled.
Guardian Mortazgus has broken free from his confinement.
I smashed down on sleep, and the world stopped spinning. The old broken bridge stood before me, rising vertically into the air. It took my brain a few moments to understand what had happened. The kaiju was still burrowed under the mountain, but it now lay horizontal, upsetting the bridge and travel system of the groundlings. Instead of being below me, the heart was now before me, looming like the bow of some massive worm-covered ship. The heartworms twitched, twisted, undulated, undisturbed by the change of position. The damaged bridge hung vertically from the portal in which it was attached, swinging and dripping with gore. Mortazgus had broken out of the trap, thanks to my deal with the Dilla-whatever worms. The kaiju had received a 20% strength boost the moment I took control. His total strength had gone from 45% to 65%, and he only needed to be at 60% to break free. So that's exactly what he did. I put my hand on a vein, and the surgical menu popped up. I chose Bloodborne.
You have insufficient soul power to cast this talent.
Shit. I needed to kill something. If I died now, it'd probably be a long time before I'd be able to get branded and back here. I wanted to try my hand at driving this thing. I warily eyed the knot of heartworms. I couldn't touch them. I had to kill something else, and fast. I wondered if there was anything like those crab things roaming around. Only those things scrabbled about the large intestine, and I was a long way from there. I examined my purple waypoints. There were none of the train-sized parasites roaming this kaiju, thank goodness. While Mortazgus was in poor health, he wasn't on the verge of death like Bast always seemed to be. That meant fewer things crawling around the inside of him trying to murder me. I briefly wondered about that. Up until this point, I hadn't thought much about the nature of the creatures that lived within the kaiju. Most of them seemed to be gamified parasites, the same sort of critters that creatures in the real world would succumb to. Mortazgus had heartworms. I'd seen gross pictures of dogs who'd been infested with something similar. But the whole catalyst of this game was the opening of the rift and the demon invasion. According to the groundlings, Mortazgus had been kept safe from the demon invaders. So did that mean all the parasites and creatures living within were of a domestic origin? Bast had way more things living within her, but she was also living and fighting not too far from the front line. So what was the difference between native and demon parasites? Was there one, other than perhaps difficulty level? Did it matter? It was something to contemplate later. For now, I needed to find something relatively easy to kill. I continued to pore over my gross anatomy map. There weren't too many places I could get to from here without digging through flesh or riding the blood vessels. And I couldn't do that easily without soul power. But I did see something of interest. I dropped back into the oblation chamber. The worms remained. The children remained. They continued to scream. The large mech stood, statue-like in the center of the room. The boiler chugged merrily away, like nothing was wrong. Madame Throb remained attached to the harness, slumped over. The worm attached to her head was gone. She appeared as an NPC on my map, where the children didn't appear at all. She still had her name and title floating over her head. The host part was gone. The fact she still had a tag meant she was still alive. Holy shit. She lived. Her entire body shuddered. White, wriggling worms continued to come out of every visible orifice. But she was still alive. I pulled my knife and I stuck it in her temple. She did not move. But she did finally expire. I felt the rush of soul power, so much it filled my bar. I healed myself. I received a nominal amount of experience, too. I noted that it only took about 30% of my total soul power to heal me this time. Before, it took almost my entire bar. I suspected if I tossed some points into my acumen stat, my soul points bar would be able to hold even more. I still didn't like the way soul points worked. It made it hard to plan without hard numbers. A few bare moments after Madame Throb died, the entirety of her body dissolved away, replaced by worms. I took a step back as they cascaded off the front of the mech, disappearing through the hole in the floor. I spent a few moments unsuccessfully attempting to use the mech. It could only be equipped by groundlings according to the system. I couldn't stuff it in my bag, even if I took everything else out. It would have to remain here. There was a pouch with about 200 teeth, which I quickly snagged. The odd rifle she'd carried was much too big to carry, so it also remained. This time I left the chamber out the front door, which now faced an arterial wall. I placed my hand on the flesh and was rewarded with multiple waypoint choices after I selected Bloodborne. The very first option was Guardian Cockpit. I watched, fascinated, as the artery before me bulged. Through the thin skin, I watched as multiple white cells appeared and started to form and coagulate before me, forming what appeared to be a worm surgeon-sized pod within the vein. And just as I wondered how the hell I was supposed to get to the damn thing, the artery split open and the pod peeled, alien-like. Lights appeared on the interior of the pod. Okay, then. I held my breath, and I stepped in.